healing. Okay, I'm sorry. Attitudinal healing is inviting us to have this place of, you know, what I'd say, ultra mindfulness, just awareness of what's in our state of mind, taking responsibility for that, and recognizing that we have that choice all the time, that we always have that choice. Now, it seems hard because there's things going on around us, but it's always our choice. And as we get, you know, more kind of adept at it, we start to realize that the same things don't trigger us the same way, but also that the world we perceive is a reflection of our state of mind. And so that's why we really want to, or, you know, at least I know what really drives me and really calls me to this is because, you know, I can perceive a world of love and beauty and peace by paying attention to my state of mind. And so that's how I want to live life, and that's what I want to share, and that's what really, you know, is my inspiration. Because, you know, the Course in Miracles says we teach what we want to learn, and so we're all here learning and teaching, you know, to each other. So today, the ideas of attitudinal healing are, you know, they can be broken down into 12 major principles. We talked about one principle last week, love is the essence of our being, and that has been taped. There is a recording, and I'll hopefully put that up in the next week or two. Today, I wanted to talk about health is inner peace. And I'm reading this from a book written by Gerald Jampolsky, who's a physician, a psychiatrist, who's considered the, I don't know if I could even say the author of attitudinal healing, because it's really based on The Course in Miracles, and I think he would agree that's where he kind of got his inspiration, but he definitely coined the word attitudinal healing in the 1970s. So health is inner peace, therefore healing is letting go of fear. To make changing the body our goal, is in us already at peace. The place of peace is found within our mind. The body cannot tell us how to feel because the source of our experience is our mind and how we choose to use it. We are not a victim of the body, and our mind cannot actually be threatened. For this reason, there is always a way to freedom. And I want to just read a little bit more. To have inner rest and contentment and an increasing experience of freedom and release, it is necessary for us to question our old sense of identity. Are we really only a body that lives a few moments and dies? Does the body set the limits to our strength, dictate how we must feel, and define the tiny range of activities in which we can engage? Or is there a potential within us that knows no limit of any kind and is unending in its capacity to make happy and set free? So I'm going to stop there because this is really a key thing that attitudinal healing is taking us to a level of understanding and relating that is, again, it lifts us above our usual way. And that place of the body, so when we think of health as inner peace, usually when we think of health, the first image that often comes to our mind is a body, you know, the health of the body. And that in itself, if we watch our mind, you know, we'll start to think about how the body looks, and different shapes, you know, is the body in good shape or not in good shape, you know, weight, right, that can be a big place. You know, then we'll start to think about what to feed the body and how to clothe the body and what the body needs. And you can see how it can get very, very complicated. And we're not trying to stop doing anything we're doing to care for the body. This is not what we're going. It's more that we want our state of mind to be like our primary goal. You know, that peace of mind is our goal. And we get up in the morning with that, we go to sleep with that, and we kind of reset ourselves throughout the day. You know, Emil, who's on this call, he shared with me this idea of a pause. And it's a great thing, you know, this idea that we have this opportunity to reset our goal, recalibrate, think of it like a GPS. And so if we're dealing with anything in the body or with other bodies or other relationships, really the attitudinal healing is saying that at each moment we have a choice how we're going to interpret this, how we're going to see it. And I kind of like to think of it as like a lens, right? So if you've got a camera and the lens is broken, now, I mean, these days, you know, we've got iPhones, so, but just think of the time when we had, you know, those regular old cameras and you had the lens and all of it, and it was broken and you took a picture. Well, the picture would appear, you know, disfigured, or, you know, there would be something wrong with it. You wouldn't blame the picture. You know, you wouldn't say, oh, something's wrong with this picture. You'd say, oh, something's wrong with this lens, and I need a new lens, right? You would replace the lens. Similarly, the glasses you wear, right? If you're not seeing properly, you're not going to blame what you're seeing. You're going to say, oh, I need a new prescription, or I need new glasses. And so I like to think of the choices in our mind as different lenses that we can see through. And to keep it really, really simple, it's either love or fear. You know, it's either the choice for peace, the choice for joy, the choice for love, or the choice of fear, which is like more like the default mechanism, you know, when we're not aware. So it can be challenging, you know. There's nothing that says, oh, this is easy, because we have been trained in a certain way from our upbringing or childhood or whatever. But, you know, as I think, again, I'm going to, you know, quote Emil, because he likes to say this, it's easy, you know, it can be, you can look at it two ways, that if you're unhappy, well, it takes work to be unhappy. And so, okay, it might take a little work to kind of get to this place of more happiness and joy, but, you know, which is your choice? Where would you rather be? So if we can get to the level of how do I see myself? So instead of focusing on, as we said, like, you know, healing the body and making the body better, or even like, let's expand this, you know, relationships, right, between someone else, or fixing this in the world, or fixing this situation. You know, if when I start to do that in my mind, I start to really feel like I'm making this distance between my point of power and whatever that is. And it's going to be like, I start to feel effortful, like it's going to be efforting for me to do this. But when I make it about, I want to see this in a way that is loving, I want to see this in a different way, you know, show me, I immediately start to feel this sense of power, because I feel like, okay, I can do this. You know, this is something that I can accomplish with help of my inner guide. So it's like that's kind of where I think I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to start to just, you know, if anyone wants to make a comment, please feel free to do that. And I noticed that someone else joined us, so I'm just going to unmute this person and just let them, maybe we'll start with this person if they want to make a comment, or if not, just to say hello, and we can all just kind of welcome them in. So I'm just going to unmute. Is it Felice?
My name is Sue, and I joined in about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, great.
Hello?
Okay. All right. Well, welcome, Sue. Welcome. Yeah, can you hear us? Can you hear me?
Yes. And I do know you, Seema. So.
Oh, okay, great, Sue. Okay.
Yes, I see you.
Did you want to say anything, or?
Not right now.
Would you like to say anything?
Subject matter is, of course, I'm sorry?
Okay, so maybe
I'll
come back to you then. Maybe you want to.
Yeah.
Would you like to maybe say something? Okay, I'll come back to you. Okay, sounds good. All right.
Yeah.
All right, welcome. Okay. All right. So if anyone would like to make a comment, you can press *6, and that will allow you to talk and people will be able to hear you. Okay, let's see, maybe, okay. Okay, so go ahead and press *6 if you'd want to make any kind of comment or reflection or anything you want to share. Okay, let me... Oh, here we go. Okay. Okay, Emil, yeah. So please share. What would you like to share?
Well, I would like to share this. Now, it's been stated that our thoughts control our whole being. And therefore, if we perceive good thoughts and act accordingly to our thoughts and make good choices, we should have less stress on our mind and also less stress on our body, because most of the stress that occurs on our body is not from the outside. It's always from the inside, because we put stress on our body because of the thoughts that we have in our mind and the stress that we're putting on our mind. And therefore, if we have try to choose better thoughts and more practical thoughts and have a different perception about what we're thinking and have less fear in our life because of our fear thoughts, then we should have less stress on our bodies, and therefore our bodies should be healthier in many ways. And a lot of the problems that we do have with our bodies is also caused by the stress that we're putting on our minds because of the thoughts and the fears that we have. And therefore, that's causing us to develop all kinds of diseases, all kinds of aches and pains that we really shouldn't have if we would change our perception and put less stress on our bodies. And it's even known by the scientific and the health community that a lot of the problems that we have in our own health are caused by, it's all caused by the thoughts we have and the fears and the stress that we're putting on ourselves. Psychiatrists and therapists will always say that that's one of the main problems that people have, is they have so much stress in their lives. But they equate the stress to the people's outward life because of being busy and going from one place to another in a hurry and stuff like that, which does cause stress. But the main stress is caused by the way we perceive things, and if we would change our perception on things and make better choices, that would lead to less stress. And that's all I wanted to say at the present moment.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. And, you know, when I was in medical school, I remember I was studying that, you know, I don't know, at that time they'd say 30% or 40% of all these diseases are related to stress. And then as I was finishing and residency and afterwards, it was like 80% and 90%, and that number keeps getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, even things that were supposedly like, okay, this is all genetic, they're even talking about gene expression and how, you know, stressful environments can turn certain genes on and not turn certain genes on. And, you know, there's a whole field along that. So it's getting more and more accepted. And, you know, I think the challenge is, like, how to do this. Right? How do we do this? So, yeah, but absolutely. absolutely. Everything you said, I mean, I totally agree with. Okay, so if anyone else would like to, you know, share something or comment, or maybe you have a situation that you're experiencing, and, you know, okay, here we go. Let me get Seema. Okay, Seema, you can please share with us.
Yeah. So I wanted to thank Emil. I mean, he's absolutely right. I mean, and what you said afterwards, that it's been so well documented that our thoughts have such a powerful effect in terms of our health, our psychological state, and, you know, just our well-being. So getting back to what you said again was, how do we practice this? And as the past week has gone, I've been trying to practice this, and it's not that easy because we have to unlearn what we've learned, which is that the mind is always chattering. So whenever I catch myself with a negative thought, I try to come back to just the thoughts of love and peace, and just try to center myself. Again, as you said, that your central goal is to maintain the inner peace. So it's constant, and it's exhausting, at least right now, because my mind goes into the future. Sometimes it goes in the past, and sometimes it's dwelling on something that just happened. And sometimes it's okay. Like when I'm taking a walk in nature, it's just quieter than it is when I'm surrounded by in the city or with other people. I think it would be nice to focus on that, centering ourselves when we are bombarded with our chattering mind, because we all believe that thoughts are really powerful and affect us. So.
Great.
Anyway, that's
what
I wanted to share.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah, and I want to say something to that, but before I do, I think Janice has been waiting, so I'm just going to just go to her for a second, and then I want to come back to what you said, Seema. So let me just okay. Janice, did you want to say something?
Well, just to sort of elaborate on Emil and Seema. You know, my experience with, you know, physical ailments is to sort of let them go and not try to focus on fixing, rather than just being more guided on how to be comfortable with what is. And, you know, then I find that these things just fade away. And so it's really handing, you know, in that process, handing it over to spirit, to just release it, because we don't have to hold on to it. It is a choice, for sure. So, yeah, that's all I wanted
to
say.
Handing it over to spirit to just give it over, you're saying, Janice? Just to hand it over.
Yes, hand it over, knowing that as a human, we don't have the ability to even understand how to fix it. That we don't have that knowledge. It's not within our grasp, but it is within the grasp of spirit.
Okay, great. That's great.
Which is hard to do. So, you still have to do the... Say that again?
Yeah. No, I'm just agreeing with you, and I think Seema said the same thing, you know, that it's an unlearning, right? It's not like doing more. It's almost like doing less, you know, in the mind doing less, and then the doing of the body will change accordingly, right? And it can look like maybe doing less in the body, too, or you know, differently. So, yeah, it's an unlearning, and there's like, so there's like this... you know, I'm remembering this story from, I think it's the Buddhist tradition, or it could be the Indian tradition, And the student comes to the master, and the student tells the master that, you know, I've learned so much about meditation, I've learned so much about spirituality, and I've learned so much about this, and I've learned so much about this. And he's come to the master to learn something, right? But he's telling him all the stuff that he's learned. And he's just going, and he's talking and talking. And meanwhile, this master is like, you know, very, very kind of in a relaxed setting, just pouring tea. And he's pouring some for himself, and he's kind of listening to the student. But he's, you know, very focused on pouring the tea, and then he's pouring a cup for himself and, I guess, for, you know, another student. And then this student, he's offering this cup, and the master keeps pouring and pouring and pouring, and finally the tea overflows. And the student is like, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, can't you see this tea? It's full. Like, what are you doing? And the master puts the kettle down, and he looks at the student and says, that's your state of mind. You know, it's so full. There's no room. There's no room for me to, you know, teach you anything. There's no room. So I'm reminded about that story because sometimes, you know, we go to this place of whether it be prayer or, you know, with spirit or in meditation or whatever, but our minds are so full and we have so many ideas of what should happen and what could have happened. And so then we're like, okay, well, you know, my prayers aren't being answered or I'm not hearing. And I think it's something like that, that, you know, we literally need to find a way to empty ourselves, even if it's for a minute, you know, find a way where we can just empty and then just kind of wait, you know, and practice that. For me sometimes, and Janice and I have had conversations about, for me sometimes it helps, like if I'm dealing with something and it's just to write everything out, like whatever I think about the situation, whatever I think should go on, should have gone, past, present. I mean, if it's like something that just is recurrently coming up for me, and as I write it, you know, without any, you know, no judgment, like being very honest, right, just very honest. If I'm having, quote, unquote, negative thoughts, if I'm thinking, you know, just like no judgment, getting it all out. And then I sometimes will say, okay, Now I'm ready. Now I'm really ready to hear. And then I might, like, go do something else or just, you know, go take a walk or, you know, do whatever will help me. And then something will shift. You know, some other thought will come through. And, you know, so it's not like you got to be in this empty mind place, because I think sometimes, you know, we're, how do you do that? Like, how is that even possible? But it's just like emptying for a bit. So then, you know, like this master, he's saying, like, empty your cup so then I can fill it. You know, I want to fill it for you. And I think Spirit is saying that. I want to fill you up. But, you know, just be empty. Let me, you know, let me have space. So I just wanted to kind of share that. Thank you, Janice. I wonder if anyone else would like to say anything else. Perhaps the others, Sue or Margie or Sally, if you'd like to share anything, you can just, again, press star 6, and then I'll be able to unmute you. Okay. Margie?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, I just wanted to respond because I was laughing to myself when you were talking about the master pouring the tea and it overflowing and the student going, what are you doing? Like, how many times I've done that in my life where I haven't trusted, like, my higher power, and all of a sudden I'm like, what are you doing? Like I'm the one in charge, you know, trying to control it. And it was just a really cool visual when you said it. That took me back to how many times I've probably, like, interfered in the process because I'm trying to figure it out myself. Mm-hmm. And last week when you brought up the visual of the altar and turning it over, that was really useful to mm-hmm. me because I've used it a few times this week. And there's, like, it's amazing when it doesn't mean that life's all going to be, like, great and everything, but that there's stressful situations, but I don't let the stress control me, and to just be like, okay, I don't need to worry about this right now. You know, my higher power's got this. And there's a lot of freedom in that. But anyway, that's just what I wanted to say. I was laughing because when – pardon me?
Yeah, no, I was going to – I'm sorry. I was going to say, can you share with us, like, an experience where you did that and you saw something shift either inside yourself or outside? Maybe that would be nice, I think, just to hear about that, how you applied it. Because I think we want to hear about practical applications.
This,
I think that's really helpful.
Well, this morning, like, I mean, I'm in the midst, I mean, I'm in a career transition. I know I shared last week, I've worked in social work for almost 30 years, and so the program I worked at got shut down with budget cuts. So, you know, this past 10 months I've been, you know, it started out unemployed, then I had a chance to get in a program to start my own business, but I really wasn't sure what I was going to do, and it's turned into coaching and promoting speakers. And so it's totally flying by the seat of my pants, following my intuition and not feeling like I have to be reactive and just go take any job, which will suck the life out of me, half of them, to just say that I have a job. And so it's been a really incredible journey. Well, there was a job that did get posted. And, I mean, I've kind of been looking, but I don't feel this pressure, which is crazy because I'm single and I have a house. And, you know, everything logically in my head says, Marja, you should be freaking out, you know. And, you know, I mean, I'm not wealthy. And, you know, I mean, I've always lived, like, paycheck to paycheck. So the fact that I've been able to survive is just, like, bizarre beyond belief, which just speaks of the miracles of staying in this place of feeling like, okay, you know, God, I'm using loosely, but as I understand, God's got this, like, it's okay. So this morning, you know, I'm anticipating going to this job interview today, and I'm like, I think it could be something I like, but, you know, do I want it? Do I want to stay doing my business? And so I feel my head just spinning this morning, and it's, you know, all trying to control it and, you know, anticipating what's going to happen and trying to play it all out. And all of a sudden, I just stopped in the middle of the hallway and I visualized the altar. I lifted my arms up and I said, here's my job, my career situation. I'm just like, God, it's yours. Just take it. Just guide me. Point a light, something. Make it bright enough so I can see it, please. And just your will. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I can breathe. So, but, I mean, whoever, I don't know if it was SEMA, whoever did say about unlearning, it's like, it's so true. But anyway, yeah, that's my story.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. So, let's see. So I think it's, Mary and Sally, and Sue, actually. Yeah, Mary, Sally, and Sue. If you want to press *6, if you want to share something, we'd love to hear from you. All right, let me go to... All right, I'm just going to... Actually, Sue, I'm just coming to you. You didn't raise your hand, but I just thought I would... I just kind of want to give everyone an opportunity. So, and if you want to just pass, that's okay, too. So, Sue, if you wanted to share anything or comment.
Well, this is new to me, although I've been in classes, different types of classes, for upwards of 10 years. And without these classes, I really don't know where I would be. My upbringing was extremely congested with negativity and anger and no love, and so forth like that. Well, I've had a hard time getting through all that, and now my mother's dead and my father's in a home. He has 50 to 60% kidney and heart loss. So it's a matter of time, and we've been estranged for 15 years. So I've gone through this in so many ways and so many angles, and I don't feel as if he's mad at me about everything, and I don't feel as if I have ever done anything wrong. Very critical, condescending, lots of rage. Well, the past couple weeks, I've been feeling pretty good because I'm letting it come, and I'm resting, and I'm doing my work at home. I'm handicapped. He's never called once in years to see how I'm doing or anything, and I'm not going on the fact that I owe him anything or anybody. No matter what he's done to me,
Sue,
I love
how
him.
You, how? Oh, great, great, Sue. So I just wanted to ask you, how do you think we can help you today? Like, what would be something that you think, you know, you could put out there and either myself or one of the other participants can just, mm-hmm. you know, help you, just serve you? Like, what would be helpful to you?
I need a lot of loving thoughts and a lot of prayer to guide me. I'm brought up Roman Catholic, so, I mean, I was brought up with a good structure. I don't practice that anymore, but I just, I've been like this my whole life, very depressed and anxious. It's mostly really got a good control. I've got a good control on it now, but he's going to be probably on his way out, and he won't talk to me, and he hangs up on me, and, you know, my hurt is so bad, I'm going to give it up. I've been trying to give it up to your spirit.
Well, you know what, I want to really, you know, give you some space, but I also want to just be kind of mindful of others on the call, and I hope this is a place where, you know, we give things and we release things and we experience peace. So it's very easy for us to kind of, you know, and that's another thing, just to watch your mind. It's very easy for us to talk about the particulars of our situation, and sometimes that can just, you know, it can just go on and on and on, and it's not really getting us to peace. So when you say that someone is not connecting with you, so here's a great opportunity to think about this idea of health being inner peace, and that even communication, it doesn't have to depend on physical communication. So, and I know my friend Janice, you know, can speak to this also. But really, if you have an intention to connect with someone, and you hold that intention in your mind, that person at some level will receive it. And really, it's not even for them to show you anything. It's for you in your own place, in your own mind, to feel that openness. So wherever your father is, whatever he's doing or not doing, if you can kind of, and this is not easy, I'm not saying this is easy, but if you can kind of like not focus on him right now, on what he's doing or not doing, but just focus on your own mind. And I'm just going to invite everyone who's on this call that, and you also, Sue, whatever works for you, but we're just going to send love to your father.
Thank you.
We're just going to send love. And I'm going to invite you to do the same. And we're not asking for anything. We're not trying to change him in any way. We're not trying to control anything. But we just want to affirm that there is love in him. There is love in you. There is love in all of us. You know, Seema shared this beautiful story from the Sufi tradition that love, I might not be saying it right, but what I was getting from what she was saying is that love is like the basis of the universe. The love is, this is what's, you know, it comes from, it sees the universe. Mm-hmm. So we're just acknowledging that, and we're just feeling that flow. And every time you think of your dad and every time something comes up that is going to distress you, if you can just come back to this place of, I'm going to just send love. I'm just going to be sending love. That's all I'm going to do. And if you practice that, I would love to hear if you join us again, or you know, you can email me. I'd love to hear how that goes for you, because everyone needs love. You know, it doesn't matter what they're doing or saying or on the surface. It doesn't matter. And that's where we can practice that. We're not going by what the body seems to be doing or doesn't seem to be doing. Here's our opportunity. You've given us a beautiful opportunity for us to really practice this and say, okay, I'm going to look beyond that, because it's the mind that connects us, you know, the mind that joins us. And we know this. Across distances, people will have thoughts of one another. I mean, in simple situations, you call someone and they'll say, oh, I was just thinking of you, you know. So we are connected, and I believe, you know, parents and kids and people who are, you know, are there's even more of that. So we're just all of us, we're holding that intention, and you're going to continue to do that. And yes. we're gonna you know, we'll just allow it to be whatever it's going to be. But I'll be curious to see how that plays out for you.
Thank you.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sue. Thank you. Okay. So let's see here. Mary. Okay. Mary, would you like to say anything?
I really don't know what to say. I missed a lot of the call. I couldn't hear as well, but I'm pretty much focusing on my mind and living in right now. I'm recreating my life and my story. I'm not going by the same story, because it just keeps me in the same place. And focusing on positive thoughts, and every time a negative comes, I'm aware of it, and I want to be in a good place in my mind and balance it out and everything. So that's pretty much it. I am who I am today, and you know, if I see people out there that are miserable or whatever, I know they're coming from something, you know, in their life that's going on, and I'm trying to understand that. So it's just a constant awareness of just where I want to be, and it's not easy, but it's definitely happening. So that's what my focus is, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, whatever you missed, Mary, it is being recorded. So I will be, you know, just be patient with this technical process, but they will be on the website. So
okay.
Whatever you've missed, you'll be able to hear it another time. Okay.
Yeah, I can hear it better now. I can hear it better now.
Okay, good. Good. All right. Thank you. Thanks for joining in, Mary. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. And I'm going to just go to my friend Sally. Okay, Sally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really just listening right now. And again, you know, catching those negative thoughts and shifting them. I like the idea of the altar and putting those stressors on the altar for them to be taken care of, because I can't. So I'm working on that. But I appreciate all the sharing that I've heard tonight.
Great. Great. Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, I think this vigilance, there's something that's coming to my mind about, like, you know, I think in the Bible Jesus writes, and it was coming to me actually before we got on this call, this be vigilant for the kingdom of God, you know, be vigilant. And what does that really mean? And I think it's like you know, letting these voices come, but be vigilant for the kingdom of God. It's like, you know, you've got all of this stuff, and you're looking for the gold. You know, your mind is, I want to find that gold. You know, you got all this stuff around it, but I'm not going to, that's not what I want. And I think, you know, like the altar is this idea that, you know, I need help. You know, I can't do this by myself. I'm not supposed to do this by myself. And the altar, I think, is a wonderful way of letting go. We talked about it. And I'm actually going to be, you know, it inspired me when I heard it and I shared it and the response I got. So I'll be writing up something around that. So look for something in the next couple of weeks. It'll be on the website as well about it. So this idea of, like, you know, what it is that you want, because your mind is very powerful. So when your desire for peace of mind is really powerful and you're really giving yourself permission to make that your goal and you're just, you know, asking for help and, you know, there's no judgment. There's no, like, you know, you got to get here and then you got to get there. There's no one judging you, you know. We're judging ourselves, but, you know, certainly Spirit isn't. I kind of see Spirit as this, like, coach, you know, this teacher that's kind of saying, you know, keep coming. You're everything is good. You're right on track. Just keep going. And, you know, constant cheerleader. And that, you know, when we make that desire, it's like it goes before us. I feel like this. It goes before us and, you know, it meets us. You know, we get reminders. You know, we find a call to listen to like this, or we find a book, or someone has a conversation for us, or someone has this. And so I feel like it becomes this journey where the helpers, you know, in whatever shape or form, can come. And it's kind of like being vigilant, you know, seeing it, acknowledging it, writing about it. You know, I love making, like, gratitude lists for awarenesses that come during the day. So then, like, it's like this snowball effect. It just gets stronger. It gets stronger. And it's exciting. And, you know, I always kind of like to say, you know, when you learn to ride a car, to drive a car, or when you learn to, you know, ride a bicycle or anything that requires some training, you know, if you think about it, it wasn't so easy in the beginning, you know. It wasn't easy, but you stayed with it. You just stayed with it. And so this mind, if you can see it, like, it's kind of, it is a training. You know, there are days where, like an athlete, he swims and he just, you know, it's easy. And then there are days where it just is whatever and something is happening underneath and then something else is going to come out. So, you know, really I see my purpose is to just kind of be present, be willing, and that's it. You know, just show up and be willing and ask for help. And, you know, we encourage each other. So I kind of really feel that's important, to surround yourself with people who have that same goal of peace of mind. Okay, so we have about maybe 5 or 6 minutes, and I want to kind of just allow us to end on time, but I just want to ask again if anyone else would like to share something else. Sally, is there anything else you'd like to share, or any other? You're good?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I'm not sure, I don't know if Janice or Emil or anyone else wants to make any other comments or anything else they'd want to address for anything else that was said by any of the other participants. Like maybe for Sue, if you have any other ideas or, you know, anything else you want to share. Okay. All right. So let's do this. I'll just unmute everyone one by one, and we can just kind of say, you know, last few words, and we'll just kind of end on that note. So my sense is that I'm just very grateful to each of you, and just ask you to kind of just, you know, just stay with where you're going, just to keep following this path that you're on, just all love and encouragement. Okay, so Margie, anything else you'd want to say, any last-minute words?
No, I'm just feeling extremely peaceful and surprised that my brain, no, not surprised, but my brain, it's like empty. My thoughts are empty, and that's awesome.
Okay, sounds good. All right, thank you. Okay, let's see, Janice?
No, I don't have anything else to add. It was a very good discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Emil?
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else you'd want to add?
Oh, I'd like to add something that someone said that it's relearning everything that we've learned in the past, that we have to relearn it. And
well,
I would say that's completely true.
Oh, okay.
But,
they said unlearning, I think. I think the word was unlearning.
Yeah, he said unlearning, yes.
Yes, that's what you meant. Okay.
That's completely true, but the fact is, it's not, it is a 24/7 job. Mm-hmm. You'll always have to keep reminding yourself for as long as you're still alive that you have to that you have to make changes. It will become easier, but there'll always be times when you'll be at odds with yourself, and you'll have to turn and you'll have to change the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I wanted to say.
Right, right. That it's okay to keep applying yourself. You're not failing if you're doing that. It's okay. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's see. Seema, anything else you want to say? Just have a couple more minutes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I had talked about unlearning, and yeah, I just meant that unlearning of these bad habits, that the mind chattering, all of this, and yeah, it just, that takes the energy, but I think that this a constant reminder, again, of our goal for peace is very important, and I just want to let Sue know that I agree with Seema's suggestion. I think it was beautiful, just holding her father with thoughts of love. It's very powerful. It's really powerful, and I'm praying for you also. We're all praying, and I'm sending good thoughts as well, and prayers for healing for both you and your father.
That's beautiful.
So that's it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Seema. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm just going to kind of go back to Sue for a minute, and then maybe we'll just end there. Okay,
yeah.
Sue, so how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I really appreciate this opportunity. It's opened up some lights for me for more hope, you know. It's been so long a certain way, and now that he's going to be leaving, you know, it's a matter of time. I've lived my whole life with a lot of emotional problems. There was no love in my family, so I'm going to learn that, and that I'm going to make it and go on, and I'm going to go on with love.
Great. Great, and you can start right now.
And
yeah,
I can start now. It's easy because there's people around that I know understand me.
Yes, yes, and we're with you. And
yes.
We're gonna. I'm inviting everyone. Just you know, during the course of the week, I'm not sure who will come back next week, but it doesn't even matter. As Seema pointed out, just to hold when you think of Sue or her dad. Just we're holding you in love. We're joined with you. So, you know, right now you have love. So even
Thank you.
That you didn't have love, but you have it. And so to be in this present, you have it. And to keep coming back to it, you know, it's here. It's here. And we're connected and we're joined with you. Okay?
I thank you so much.
We thank you. We thank you. You gave us an opportunity to really practice this. So thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate
it. Okay, everyone. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Again, hopefully, you know, this is something we'll be joining every Monday. And please come again next week, or, you know, let others know as well. And most of you know me, so if you think of something and you want to send an email, you can go to the website, coachingforinnerpeace.org, and send me an email that way. The recordings, I said, you know, will go on the site too in a couple of weeks. But if you've got a question, or, you know, Sue, if you want to send us an update about your dad or how things are going, feel free to do that on that website through the email as well. All right. Thank you, everyone. I'm just going to kind of just unmute everyone. Okay. So we can all just kind of wish everyone well. And just peace and love and, you know, just comfort for all of us as we go forward.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.